Bill, as we're recording this, it is 4/20/21. And that I don't really ever I don't know if there's a true meaning behind why the number 420 is correlated with stoners and people that do the hashish or the devil's grass or whatever else,
Marijuana
marijuana.
cigarettes.
Yeah, that as well. I've never touched this stuff, but I will say anybody who judges it that smoked anything else, I think, you know, this is probably
Like
the
crack.
less. Well, crack, a cigarette, I don't know. I feel like anything. Unless you're smoking meats, even that, you know, maybe you're inhaling some bad stuff. But when it comes to 420, thinking of all the your favorite characters, which come to mind of stoner characters?
I mean, it was really tough to pick just one, but I think I have to pick Saul Silver from Pineapple Express, which maybe if we don't have anything next week, we do that movie because that's one of my all-time favorite movies. Probably
Game.
should have done it on 420, but he's incredible. And I also got to shout out Red, Danny McBride's character in that movie, because he absolutely crushes it as well.
Yeah, for me, it's Spicoli. It ends, it starts, the conversation. Spicoli might
Lame.
be. What?
Lame.
You just pick like chalkiest stoner movie of all
No, you
time.
picked the most Rocky Stoner movie of all, like the
That movie's
one.
not a stoner movie. It is a high school movie that has a
But you
stoner
picked the
character.
most chalky stoner of all time.
You just picked Pineapple Express. For our generation, that is literally the stoner movie.
Okay, so that is fitting. It's
I know,
your
but I don't
pick.
say lame. I don't judge on it.
What am I here to
Lame.
do? What am I here to do then?
That's a good point.
Well, if you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about
Pop culture.
that they like, and they'll the first thing they'll say is the beat.
Get yourself
Welcome into the Pop Culture Pile Driver. Get addicted to the content. I am Jason Rossi. You can be followed across all social media platforms at Jason D. Rossi. You can follow our little ditty of a program over at Pop Culture PD. Give it a little smash that follow button. It'll instantly make you higher. And with me, as always, is my tag team partner in the podcast sphere. He can be followed along all social media platforms, sliding them DMs, ladies, gentlemen, and everything in between. At Billy D2411. What's up, Billy?
Hello, in classic Billy fashion for our top TV original songs of all time, I made a list of like 26 things.
Yeah, I saw that. I sweat my armpits, but we'll get through them all. Excited to get to it. Yesterday, our main event of the podcast, we'll be talking about best original songs from TV shows. We'll get to that. Not theme songs, not songs that have been that were like kind of like mimicked in some way. Well, it doesn't
I
really
didn't
matter.
even include in my list
Yeah.
parody songs for the most part.
Yeah, I did. I realize in mine, I know I have at least one, but we'll get to it when we get there. Bill, as people may or may not know and may be listening through their podcast right now, their podcast app, you can subscribe on iTunes. A 5-star review would give us both 10-inch boners. So please do leave a 5-star review, or if you don't want that, the smaller versions. Find us on Spotify, Google Play. I'm sorry, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music. Like and subscribe over on YouTube. Search Pop Culture Pile Driver. We are on Facebook as a part of the Dorkshire Gooniverse. Search Dork and then just put S. Basically, write Dorks. It will be one of the pop first things
If
that
you put a
pop up.
hashtag, it'll definitely be first. Hashtag
So
Dorkshire Gooniverse.
hashtag Dork. I bet you that will pop everything up. So yeah, nice cheat code right there. You can find our merch over on TeePublic. Search Pop Culture Pile Driver, three words, you'll find us.
Or
And
click the link in my Instagram
please, at Billy D2411, smash that Instagram follow as
bio.
well. And the music we have that you'll be hearing throughout this podcast is brought to us by our boys. Oh yeah, or oh yeah, because there's an exclamation point. Or is it oh yeah? How would you say it?
I don't know. You gonna play the sounder?
Well, I was going to, but now I want to talk more about their music. Do they have any they new song released yet? Coming? What do we got?
It's released, and it's actually called No Release. It's up to about 1,000 plays a day. So if we can see, we can get up to like 3,000 plays a day. So go and listen. Tell your friends. It's a great song.
All one word. Oh yeah. Maybe that's the way I should say it. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's how they mean to do it. Also, the nonprofit for this podcast is Francis High. You can check out francishigh.com to see how you can donate funds that will immediately be contributed to experiential events for those dealing with or suffering from cancer. Bill, I'll start this one off by saying, I guess you could call him a social media darling, a former barstool guy who is now turned into a YouTube sensation that has a show that is simulcast over on SiriusXM. Pat McAfee, punter of the decade in the 2010s. Now the color or just an announcer on SmackDown, just announced last week. He is new, the new quote unquote voice with Michael Cole of SmackDown on Fox.
Too many people in the booths. Is it still a 3-man booth over there on SmackDown?
No, it's just it's those two.
Man. Okay. So I get about that.
It was Cole and Graves since they went over to Fox, which was a smart move. The 2-man definitely better than the 3-man. Adnan Verk, does that name ring a bell to you?
I know who he is.
Okay. So ESPN, MLB Network, he is now on Raw with Corey Graves moving over there and Byron Saxton.
Oh, really? He's good.
Yeah. So, but it's a weird, it's like never done it before. So he stands out because you can tell it's different, but
he's like Mike Adamley. Jeff Harvey.
No. Oh God, no. But I will just say Pat McAfee, nice little impression that what word was that no one's in his ear. Just kind of be Pat McAfee.
I mean, we grew up, I think, with the greatest commentators of all time. I mean, when we were born and I still like watched old tapes of wrestling, it was Jesse the Body Ventura and Gorilla Monsoon. Then it was Gorilla and Bobby, which was my favorite. And then, you know, there was Vince McMahon, who still was pretty good in his day.
I still like, I think people want to dog on him for a lot
what
of
things. What am I over?
He had a, I just, his voice at that time was so perfect. Mm. He would get excited at the right points. Yeah, he wouldn't call all these like extravagant moves, but we now knowing Vince McMahon, he doesn't want to call the moves. He wants to tell the story, get the character over. So I really enjoyed Vince.
And then the King and JR. So yeah. It's really going to be tough to rival that, but hopefully McAfee is awesome and he's a pretty cool guy. Hopefully he's working the heel side of the street, but you know, I don't even know if they do that.
So far he's leaning that way. And I just like the attention he's going to bring to the program. I like that he's on Fox. I think that's probably what really makes him want to do it. I think it'll be a good mix. We'll see. Obviously just 1 week in, you know, Samoa Joe no longer with WWE, was recently behind the booth. So we'll see kind of where he lands. That was kind of a shocking move, I thought, by them. Like of all the people we've ever seen them release, that's a top end superstar. They're just saying, yeah, go ahead, get out of here.
Yeah. I think he had his run in WWE. What did he grab? A U.S. title while he was there? So
yeah, he never got to the top. Had that one match, Great Balls of Fire, the very famous. The only one and done in a long time of a pay-per-view. But yeah, had his time in WWE, no longer there. But he was doing pretty good behind the booth, I thought. Bill, what have you been watching?
So I am a little behind on most things, but I'm going to get Apple TV tomorrow. And
why?
I'm going to watch Ted Lasso.
Yes!
Because I saw all the hype. It's a show that I will love. Because it's a comedy, and I love Mr. Sudeikis there. I don't love him. Like, in, what is it, Horrible Bosses, he was probably my third favorite person. But that's not necessarily a slight.
No, I bet you he was lower than that if you say third. You may be of the three. Dude, that movie.
You know what? He actually probably would be fifth.
Mofo Jones. Mofo Jones might
be Mofo Jones was great, and the cokehead boss.
Colin Farrell. Oh,
Farrell.
I always do that.
Same thing.
King's Speech, Horrible Bosses, same movie. And also, like, I know it's not something, you know, we talk about. You shouldn't mention his name, but we'll just say the name that shall not be mentioned. He was great in that movie, too.
Horrible person, fantastic performer.
Yeah, he really was. And Jennifer Aniston, no credit, like, obviously, like, being a male, like...
Oh, she's hilarious.
But she was so good in that movie. Hilarious. Like, her character, even the sequel, and you know I dog on comedy sequels. It's at least worth watching. It doesn't feel like they scorn the original in any way.
No, we could definitely do that one too, because that's one of my favorite movies.
It's good stuff. I like it. So definitely pick up Apple TV. You're going to, I don't want to say guarantee because you know how things can turn, but there's very little doubt in my mind. Yeah, I think you will, especially with Ted Lasso season 2 coming back in July. What else is going on? Anything else you're watching?
Well, nothing that I'm watching, but just a tidbit here, and please. I think I'm going to be able to fix it going forward, but Thursday nights when I do the Pineapple Boys with Dr. Joe, I set this up, and then I go take a shower, and then I come back, and then I, you know, change, and this little broadcast room is also in my bedroom for right now, so this is up. It's not live, but I'm in the screen, and I'm over here changing.
So, is like, that the OnlyFans? The bottom
no,
of the feed?
But if, like... Wes happened or somebody happened to pop in this to do some work and they went to the live broadcast, they would see me butt-ass naked toweling off right here.
All right, that is an invitation to me, Wes. I'm assuming Fryer has access to
this
show.
I'm just
going to
do one of these. I'm closing the lid on my camera from now on whenever I get up. And one other thing.
Really quickly, if people do want to subscribe to see Bill's dong, you can check out the OnlyFans, Billy D 2411.
That's not true.
It's $5.99 a month.
It's not the link in my bio. Do not believe him.
Please believe me.
All right. One other thing here. April 24th. Have you heard of this? It's the Battle of the Joshes.
Okay, hold on. April 24th, live time. We're recorded on Tuesday nights mostly. Whatever. So that would be Saturday.
So 4 days. 4 days from right now. Okay. About, I think
the
this
Battle
was
the Joshes.
Probably 3 years ago, a Josh sent this out to about 9 other Joshes on Instagram randomly. He gave them a time, 4/24/2001 at 12 p.m. He gave them exact coordinates to 2021. Sorry.
Okay. That's
2021
okay.
To where to meet. And they're all going to fight. Winner gets to keep the name. Loser. The losers all have to change theirs. I just think that's phenomenal.
Wait, they're going to fist fight?
I mean, I don't know if you can see it on my phone.
A little bit.
It's like Instagram message of a bunch of Jossers. He threw out the invite, and hopefully it actually happens on Saturday.
Are they going to be LARPing, or are they actually going to, like, battle?
I don't know. It was probably just a joke, but somebody pulled it from the internet and reposted it. Because this was, like, years ago that this kid sent out this message.
Dude, I'm in. They gonna put that like I don't watch any of that fake boxing crap.
Right? Oh, Triller?
Whatever that we watched that Saturday night with
Jake Logan Paul's
brother. Yeah, that was absolute just a bag.
Not Jake Paul's brother. I think Logan Paul's not.
I don't know which one's which. I don't even know the one that was at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they look like twins. I think Logan Paul was also at WrestleMania.
I literally thought they were the same person till that night when I saw the other one. I had no idea. Anywho, but like if it's something like that, like this is more entertaining to me than that. I'd rather pay for this.
Oh yeah.
I don't care about Justin Bieber performing. I can watch YouTube for free. I'm in on this, Bill. I like that. Thanks for the heads up. For me, I am back on The Circle. I believe the greatest reality TV show that I watch. So that's one. But this show is amazing. You would love it. The world would love it. I don't know enough people that watch it. Release about 4 episodes every Wednesday. And Bill?
Give me your elevator pitch.
Elevator pitch? Social experiment, people in separate rooms in one household, only communicate via text message. That's it. That's the best I can do.
Well, do they pass each other in the hallways?
Never see each other and have no idea what they look like outside of creating social profiles for people to look at. So you can catfish. The winner gets $100,000. Here's the reason why you should watch. We need you on the show. I got a text message from friends of the podcast, a couple, Patrick and Marina, both texting me, Billy needs to be on the show. Find a way to get him on.
I gotta now watch just to see if that's an insult.
I will say honestly, and I'd love to rib you when I can. To me, it's not an insult. You need to get on the show. It's the second season. Watch the first one. High drama at times. Basically, people rank each other. People who get the highest rank are quote influencers. Influencers then vote somebody out every time.
It's like Meow Meow Beans from the Community episode.
Actually, that is, I know that episode because I've seen that part. It is like that. but I think you would love it whether you go in as yourself or you go in as somebody fake. You would destroy on the show. We need to start a petition, get Billy on The Circle.
All right, I'm in.
I thought this was going to be a one and done show last year. When I saw it was coming back, oh my God.
I have unlimited vacation, so I'll flex it on this.
Oh, you can probably work in there while you're there. Last thing I'll say about it that I think is cool. Once you're voted out, you have to then go and visit somebody who, in this year, they threw a little wrench in, but the first season it was just go visit somebody you want to meet. So you were going in a room. So I could be on the show, you could be on the show, but I could be a 24-year-old girl acting as that. So I have a profile. It could be my wife. I could be my cousin. I don't know. But it's a very intriguing show. I absolutely love it. It is must watch garbage TV for me and my wife. Get on that show. And Bill, I like to always just throw a little quick positivity. This one was very random, but I thought, do you ever see the movie Us?
No, is that the horror film, right? That was made by the people from Get Out?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's a, the way you said that, now I forget its stupid name.
Peele?
Chubby Face. Yes, I was about to say
Keegan Peele.
Peele. Jordan Peele. Basically, that whole movie, there's a big thing about Hands Across America. Well, we basically got a Hands Across America of a 20 people holding hands to form a human chain to rescue a swimmer at a beach near Panama City in Florida last week.
Goddamn.
Wow. That's just cool. Yeah, it must have been. I didn't even go deep into the details. Just saw that person survive, said that was the most they thought they were absolutely dead until they saw one person reach out for them. When that one person reached out and they pulled them out, they noticed that there was 15, they thought only 15, 20 people over just reaching and helping each other to get this person. So kudos to you. That really is. That's amazing stuff. Speaking about amazing stuff, Bill, we watch a lot of TV in our day, eh?
We do.
I've watched more TV, used to write about it, very poorly spelled. Grammar is not my specialty. English is not my major. And speaking is barely there.
Your first language.
Yeah, seriously. But in our time of watching TV, we're also big music heads. So we smashed those two ideas together from a wonderful text from one Billy D with his phone number. That is not, no. We came up with the idea, or you really came up with the idea, for the best original songs from TV shows. So we kind of, we started with guidelines, right? But we kind of said, nah, throw those to the wind. What are the best of the best?
So here's the thing. I've seen a lot of these lists. I've only seen like two or three TV ones. Most of them are combined because they didn't think they had enough songs with TV and movie. So I didn't look at any of those first. I did my due diligence, wrote down all the ones I liked. And then what I did this time is I texted it to some friends who are, you know, heavy into TV as well. And they kind of made me remember a few that I forgot. And I think my list is pretty tremendous from top to bottom.
Well, you should feel that way, first of all.
I think we could write like a friggin'
blogger. Yeah. We could get on Blogger. You definitely hit a lot in there. I will definitely give you that. I don't know how many I actually ended up coming up with, but I just went off the top of my head. Didn't check out any list to this day, so I'm probably going to miss a few. Probably not going to be happy with myself. I did my wife. I was like, hey, what do you think of? We both kind of came up with a few. Probably looking over yours just briefly, both of us hit a lot of the same shows. Don't have a lot of necessary crossover, but we can kind of ping back and forth to start here, Bill. We can get to the ones we really want to talk about. At the end, we can kind of just dump the rest. Mm-hmm. So where do you want to start? You want to give us one that jumps off the page to you?
So I'll just give you three right away. So Sex Hair from Mouse Rat. That, of course, is Parks and Rec. That's the, you got sex hair, you got it from me. And then when he had to change it for kids, I think he said spaghetti hair.
Who sang this? Is this a Tracy Jordan joint? Or
no, this is Parks and Rec. This is Andy Dwyer. You didn't know who Leslie Knope was either. But they'll be coming up again on this list.
Don't 30 Rock is basically the same show in my head, so I have major issues there.
Pretty much. And then this is a little-known one from South Park, Make It Right. It's where Eric Cartman thinks he dies. And it's like, gonna make it right. Because Jesus wants me to have a clean slate. That's great.
Good too.
And this was one of the ones I got from the list, but I wanted to have, you know, all of the big ones on here. A little bit of Lexus from Schitt's Creek, which I've never got to, but I watched the music video and it was pretty good.
I agree. I didn't have this on my list. Should have, because it was like a viral campaign. I think I've seen three episodes, not because I don't want to watch it, just timing. And I'll be honest, Bill, that's a jam.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched it so many times that I don't understand that how it was just like an audition with no music, because you always hear the like techno beat or the house beat behind it. And a looker that was.
Oh, yeah. And I will say one other thing, too. Like, you know, we love TV. We love music. Mm-hmm. And I think this is why a lot of these episodes that these songs are featured in are some of our favorite episodes. Like the Sex Hair one is from where you hear it for real for the first time. Is like the Pawnee telethon one, which is a phenomenal episode. The Make It Right is one of my all-time favorite episodes of South Park. So it just kind of goes hand in hand. And a lot of these good shows, basically Seinfeld is one of the few comedies that doesn't have like an original song in it somewhere.
It's funny you say that, because I was thinking about it. Pretty like people could make the argument that George's
Believe It or Not.
Yeah, but that's
a parody. Yeah,
it's a parody. And I'm going to start with the parody, because that's probably my one faux pas on my list that I've noticed now thinking about it, that I'm retweeting our feed, and I just see a video of, I don't know if he's a friend of the broadcast or if he's a friend of either of ours, he's my enemy on DraftKings, that would be one Steve Buchanan, he has a video of him with like a Joker like filter on his face. I thought it was real. It's really scary. Gotta get off of that. Anyways, appreciate that he falls. He's checkmarked, not like some other people that are DBs over with the DraftKings family. moving right along. For me, my first one, Bill, that is of the variety that you said, is kind of a takeoff of a song. It was from Big Mouth, who we could fill the list on Big Mouth. Maybe one day we could do like a tier or a rankings of just Big Mouth music, because it's basically a musical, kind of like Family Guy in some ways. But I went with Life is an Effed Up Mess, which is basically the Electric Slide in a weird way.
Yep.
It's like a takeoff of it. But this song gets me every time. It is one of the funniest ones that they came up with. It hits the perfect towards the end of season one, where everything is just falling apart. And the lead into it with Greg, why can't I think of her name? Redhead girl's father. He's basically like, you know, why is everybody going to yell at me? Why is everyone going to say this? Because he's stoned all the time. Speaking of great stoner character. Mm-hmm. But then Coach Steve just goes, you really know how to read a room, Greg. And then he just goes right into this song, and it's just amazing. And it just the young gay kid who just starts singing at the
end. Oh, he has like a couple of good songs in the show, too.
But his lines in this, he's just like, everyone is horrible. And then just life is an effed up mess. And it, you know what? It's true.
It very much is.
So that's the only one that I would say that is a parody of mine that come to mind. I'll hit my South Park song. I went with Kyle's Mom's a Bitch. Because
technically not from a TV show. That was the movie, but I'll give you credit.
But I thought that was on an episode.
You know what? It might have been on an episode, too.
And then the movie did the thing where I believe they put like 70...
different languages?
Like, yes, and they like found a way. You know what?
I think you're right.
Because I remember it from like season one or two. It was early. Because I feel like that storyline is like long gone and hard to find of like Kyle's mom even being a major part of the show as much. But with that being said,
what?
Yeah, this is just an incredible, just the tone of it. Kyle's mom's a bitch, a big bad bitch, a big bitch in the whole wide world. It's awesome. And as a kid, like it's the funniest thing you've heard at that time. So it gets you laughing. It's hilarious and it's catchy as hell.
Absolutely. All right. I'll rip through a couple more of mine. This one is a really weird one. Just You from Twin Peaks. This is the two girls and the James Deaney motorcycle kid. I just put it on there because it's hilarious and it's kind of awful. Perform it well, but yeah, it's super cheese. Then next I have You All, Everybody, Drive Shaft, Lost. This one started out pretty high and then I kept ranking it lower because it's just not a good song. It's just kind of stupid. It's like it's silly, and they even said that they got this, I think, from a Maury show. You All, Everybody, acting like you stupid people wearing expensive clothes, and like that's why they wrote the song, because they liked that line so much from a Maury show or a Phil Donahue or whatever. Yeah,
if somebody said that line. Yeah. And they said, all right, we're writing it down, the creators or whoever came up with that. But that's a total miss on my part. Lost being my favorite show. It just didn't come across my brain. That's way off on my part, but absolutely needs to be on the list just because the way Charlie introduced himself to half of the characters early in season one of Lost is Drive Shaft. You know Drive Shaft? You all, everybody. You all. And he doesn't even sing it to the tune of the actual song.
No. Well, because he's not the singer.
True. His brother is.
Yeah. He's the writer.
Very, very jam though. Like I will play it in my. It like pops up in my old gym
and
list.
It's like one of the bigger pieces of the show. Like of a show, this is featured in a ton of episodes. It's like kind of his arc almost. Mm-hmm. And then we can rip off three because I think we share these three. Yeah. The Dunder Mifflin commercial song, Dunder Mifflin, the people, 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 people.
And
Michael doesn't like it.
Can we? He's like, yeah.
I was thinking more of a rap.
Yeah, you didn't do a rap song? That right there, I know we talked about it in our I think that's season four, season three?
I think it might be four.
It was a Lucy episode, I know that, but it was so...
Oh, so it must have been three.
I think it was three.
Yeah.
Or did we do five yet? Did we do five?
Yeah, we did five with Jake.
It might have been four. Either way, it's an awesome song, and it really is to this day, like, that episode, like, it's on Comedy Central all the time, just... spinning and round and round is The Office. But we watch it again, me and my wife. I'm like, I don't know what happens from where I start. Like, Scott's Tots, still haven't seen it. That's the episode I'm on. Got the cock now so I can watch it. But does that come back into play at all, this song?
No.
Which is ridiculous. I'm going to say, like, that's a great callback. Like, how they don't come back to that or how that doesn't, like, eventually, in my head, watching it, not knowing the future of that show, that should be, like, a big part of, like, the future of that company. Yeah.
And then the next one here, we both had this one. Lisa, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa. Lisa, it's your birthday from The Simpsons, sung by the one and only. You're not not one of your favorite guys, but Michael Jackson.
Name redacted, yep.
Name redacted. And they actually redacted this show from The Simpsons. If you go to Disney Plus, you can't watch this episode because...
Absurd, though. Like, that's... You know I'm...
You rejected him from any of your lists. So.
He should not... I'm not... That is... I think there's a little bit of separation. Person. And it's not technically Michael Jackson as being portrayed on the show.
Even no, it's him as like a crazy person.
A cyborg guy. Yeah.
And the only reason I didn't have this as the number one Simpsons song for me, because if like, you know, we're doing my list, it's not funny. It's sweet. It's nice. It's probably the best composed song on the show because it's freaking Michael Jackson. But I also like the song to play a little bit heavier in the comedy role. And 99% of these songs are from comedies.
To add to that, the reason I had it on my list, not only my sister's name is Lisa, and I send this to her every year, so it's a big part of my family life, but it's also a spin on Happy Birthday. You don't have enough of those. There's like three. This song should
be in there.
Oh,
the Beatles is my favorite.
We got the Beatles, which you can actually say. You can't play the actual Happy Birthday song, because guess who owns it?
You can now. You can. Oh, it just got out of the...
Michael Jackson's estate, Let It Loose, Neverland Ranch over there. Well, that's cool. And obviously there's Epic Happy Birthday with when I was back in the day on the formerly known as Dale and Keith show. Whenever there was anyone's birthday, I used to jam that thing.
Have you ever seen Aqua Teen Hunger Force had made their own Happy Birthday song because of that exact premise, because Michael Jackson owned Happy Birthday. And I think it was Fridays had a good Happy Birthday song.
Love it.
When you would get your meal.
No, you know who sells the best is Texas Roadhouse, just because they put you on the
the rocking horse,
little horsey thing. Wonder if how that's going with COVID. Can you still throw the peanuts on the ground?
I don't know. I almost slipped a couple times. It's dangerous.
Yeah, it is dangerous, especially with sneakers when you got fresh sneaks. But yeah, this song, it just hits all the right tones. It's a variation. And just to go with one thing, I don't know if you saw this week, they had a character played by Cumberbatch there. And he, Dr. Strange, and he played like a mopey 80s like musician. And freaking Morrissey, one of the biggest DBs in music, complete diva, got all offended. Is like trying to call out the Simpsons because they're basically, he believes they're like portraying Morrissey, which they might be, but he's like trying to like call him out, trying to get like the episode like taken off.
Well, they nailed it then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And Michael Jackson, by the way, who like was like part of the episode, who like, look what he let them do.
Yeah.
Especially in that time of his life, when things were like really like getting a little questionable for Michael Jackson, he's out there letting him portray an overweight white guy. It was like, this is ridiculous. That's all. I just thought it was so stupid. You can read about it. You know, get off your high horse, Morrissey, and like, who cares about you? With all due respect.
All right. So next one we have here from the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yes, nailed it.
Titus Andromeda. Pinot Noir, and this one gave me, I think, my first laugh out loud moment in that show, because this guy is hilarious. Anyways, he's probably the best part of the show.
Oh yeah.
And like the music video that he shoots is fucking laugh out loud funny every time. Like, just watch it on YouTube if you've never seen it. You don't even need any context and it's hilarious.
It's so, that show was like right before I feel like Twitter, Instagram started doing like the short video clips and like taking off. Like, this show, like GIFs and stuff like that, like, I'm surprised there isn't more from it. I think The Office still takes the cake, but like, this show really, it is really good. Like,
well, it's got Erin from The Office in it,
which I didn't even know. I knew her as Kimmy Schmidt. I didn't know she was on anybody before. I think she was in one of those like couples retreats or Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I think she's one of the character in that, but
I forget, but yeah, she's so good. And actually, if we were to do all time theme songs for shows, this is up there.
It's Unbreakable. It's got to at least be mentioned somewhere. I'd say the best parts of the show is just Kimmy's quirkiness. Like, just being someone that basically is a child at the age of like 30. And Titus, like, it is such a blend of ridiculous characters. And yeah, Pinot Noir hits an all the right levels. And like, the idea that he thought this was going to be like his big break, and then eventually somewhatly is it's really well done.
All right, let's go to your originals here.
Okay, so I think, well, I can hit us with, I'm trying to think. Oh, you know what? I'll go with, from Modern Family, this always gets me because it makes you sing it. And I don't know if you remember it, Bill. It was a song called In the Moonlight, where the oldest daughter, I guess you could call
her. Is this
her,
the baby? Maybe. Yeah, yeah. I just want to do you.
Such a great song. And he sings this in front of the family and performs it. And they were trying to like go away for a weekend. And it's so funny. They pan over to the parents. He's like, she's not going anywhere. He's like, she's never leaving this house again. And then
the best part of the episode is the end, though, where they're all singing it. And like Phil's brushing his teeth. Maybe.
They're all getting ready for bed, and they're just singing that. And then you have, Phil, but then you have the father, played by Ed O'Neill, is just like, I just want to do you. And it's awesome, awesome stuff. That song, and that was like a little bit of had a little bit of run, even on radio there for a hot minute.
I think Cam and Mitchell are also singing it with each other at the end. It's such a, I missed that. That's probably my biggest omission. If I were to do a blog post, that is one that I would definitely have to add in, because I love that. Like, that first two and a half seasons of Modern Family, I think you can rival that with any television show ever.
It's one of the shows I will say is died a really weird death. Like, it was, I even give them four seasons, and then just drops off a cliff. The kids got older, had tough transition when you have a show that heavily focused on children. We've talked about this many times, how difficult that can be. Full House knew it. They're like, let's pull the plug here. Oh, there's my microphone. That song, without a doubt, all these songs are great. Like, that's why we're talking about them. That's why they're the best. But, man, that one always gets me.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So I can rip off because I have way more than you. So two from Community back-to-back here. Community has, one of the first, their first season soundtrack. It's, listenable the whole way through. They have a couple of ones, this I Am Senior Chang and I Can't Be Killed. Great. But, if we're going by my list here, number 16, I started at 26, but number 16 would be Pierce Shrippy. Hilarious, hilarious song. They have this no nipple guy that's in love with Britta that sings all these songs. He also has Getting Rid of Britta. Getting Rid of Britta. I'm getting rid of the bee. It's just, and Pierce, what's his name? Chevy Chase is part of the band. And it's a great, episode of just the perfect, they have two or three episodes that I would call the perfect comedy episodes, just because Dan Harmon is kind of a genius with that stuff. And there's this and Annie's Move, which also has kind of an original song in it, that I think they know how to do that all-time comedy episode. And this has two great songs in it.
And then what was the other one from Community?
Those were both from Community. Quickly mention Werewolf. Werewolf Bar Mitzvah from Tracy Jordan, which is actually a full song, and it's produced by Childish Gambino and his producer, who did a lot of the music on Community as well. So it's a fantastic song.
So I had no idea what this was. But then after I made my list, I didn't change anything, but I just wanted to see what people did. And this was on several either honorable mentions or on the list. So I watched it. This made me want to watch more 30 Rock, because the video itself is hilarious.
So the best part is, too, in the episode, it's only a 4-second cut. It's only Werewolf Bar Mitzvah, spooky, scary, boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. And that's it. And then they release this afterwards. Which is my favorite thing that movies and TV shows do, in Role Models, when they have the love take me down to the streets, and then they make that an entire actual song in the credits, even though it's not a real Wings song. That to me is genius when they do stuff like that.
So I just watching this YouTube video thought this all played, or at least a majority of it played on the show.
4 seconds maybe.
Wow, and that's a lot of makeup. That's a lot of production to put into something that, again, they knew they'd probably release somewhere, but wow. But that is just amazing. I found that hilarious.
It's just fantastic.
Ridiculous. And I don't know where the context, it's out of context to me, but it's just hilarious. I have no idea what they're trying, why this song's being created, but I loved every second of it. Again, never saw it in its original run, so it wasn't on my list. I'll go to some of my lower ones. We'll save that one because it's on both of our lists, and I think we'll rank high. I'll go with one from Family Guy. Now, there's a lot here, but they did a lot of adaptations or
Even Shapoopy is a real song.
That's what I was going to go there. It was the first one that popped in my head, but I'm like, no, that's a song. That's a legit, not Shapoopy, but it is. The words and the way they did it. So I'm like, no, can't do that. Was going through a lot of them. And then I came up with the episode. One of the songs that popped into my head was when Brian meets the older woman that is waking up, I think, believe after like 70 years in a coma, the things you've missed. And he basically goes through, and I cannot repeat these things. And this is definitely an episode I would don't know if you're going to be seeing on TV these days, because he basically goes through like segregation and racism and sexism.
Most of their songs are not like good for pop culture anymore. I think the FCC one was the only other one I considered for the list.
But that isn't that tech. I know it's not an original, but isn't that like an adaptation of something? But it could be on
pretty much all adaptations of some big band performance or whatever their orchestra, musical performance back in the day. They have very few original songs.
Yeah, but this one to me, which I believe I didn't sniff anything that this wasn't original. But the things that you've missed, oh my lord, you watch that, you'll be hysterically laughing. And obviously another one and it was just a jingle, so I don't think it would have counted, and I don't think it necessarily was their best, but another one that always pops into my head is My Black Son.
Yeah.
Those two. But again, like, I don't know if you're pulling that off today. Like, this is another one of those shows, like I said about The Office, like, hard to, if you're just introducing Family Guy or like early South Park in 2020, 2021, the times we're living in, yikes. But this, the things you've missed, like, especially when he goes through like what happened in the 70s, 60s,
it's rough.
But it's hilarious at the same time, because obviously everything was released at a time when this was, and we'll get back. Stuff will be like released again, and there'll be new content like this. But, you know, it's all about a joke. I try not to take the life so seriously. It's the way I live. I try, but you're also, it's a lot of serious things going on out there, Bill.
All right. And then the other one here from I Think You Should Leave. I have one really high on my list if you want to get to yours. And it should have made my list lower, but it is incredible. I forgot this one.
Which one did you go with?
I went with, we'll get to the yours is Friday Night.
Yeah, Friday Night to me, dude. This song, sometimes, literally, almost every Friday night.
We just might.
I think it's still one of your, like, you've done great video work, quick clips for this show, other people's shows, things. When we were doing the SmackDown review of the first one on Friday night, that literally is like, to this day, I'll seek it out because it is so good. And I don't think it's being infringed on YouTube, which is a rare. But that, just Friday night, it's also that whole skit, which I do believe once we get the official announcement of season 2, we should do our own ranking now, with so much time passing and probably things have moved up and down our own ladders. But that whole sketch, the honk if you're horny, you're wondering, what is this? And then, like, that's, I think, the genius of I Think You Should Leave and a really good skit is that, like, there's a premise you're watching. You're like, what is this? And then the end, it's this man.
I gotta go sing a song.
And it's his mother died. And he's at her funeral singing outdoors. Friday night, I'm thinking that we just might
fly away. Someplace they don't know.
it's so damn good. Night jeans firming up. And the other thing is, lyrics, you don't know what he's saying. Right. I have to put that thing on closed caption. But anyways, it's so funny. Hits the right tone. The people's faces trying to pretend like he's singing an emotional song. It's great. And then just, I love you, Mom. And great, great stuff.
Okay, so we can kind of get into my top 11 here. Well, the last one before, you have this on your list too, is Smelly Cat from Friends.
Your top 11? I thought that.
Oh, it just missed. It's close, but it's not that good. It's focused on heavily in a lot of the episodes. I actually like, they don't really have a name, but when Ross broke out his keyboard and it was just like sounds, I actually think that is one of the high pieces of comedy in the history of Friends. And I know Friends get shit on, but I'll say it till the day I die. Seasons 1 through 4 are great, and seasons 1 and 2 of Friends are season 1's definitely better than season 1 of Seinfeld, and season 2 competes as well.
Yeah, Friends definitely gets a bad rap, and I think it's just based on what people believe that show. It's kind of like a chick show, I guess it might be part of the reason. But
later on, I would say more, but early on, it's great.
No, I said that's why I think it gets a bad reputation, which really still doesn't make sense. I think Smelly Cat's great. Again, one of those great arcs of the show. Phoebe's trying to become like a legit musician and thinks it's going to be like a hit. Ends up turning out to be a freaking jingle for a cat litter eventually, which is so hilarious. And she doesn't even like make the money off of it fully. Yep. And then it's just great story arc, great song, funny, memorable. And if you were around in the late 90s, you were singing this.
Yes. So my number 11 is Coach Steve, I Want to Do Sex with a Lady. This one, like any Coach Steve thing in general, this is what bumped Smelly Cat out. but anything with Coach Steve is freaking hilarious. And this is no exception. This is when he's trying to make Thick in the Warm. It is a masterpiece. I think this is their best song.
See, I just personally like Life is an F'd Up Mess. Guy Town is right up there. They knock it out of the park. There really is, like, it's almost unrivaled with how good, you know, how good their music is. Like, they just, Nick Kroll, they got a thing going on there. Yeah. I don't know. I know some behind, like, again, we're living in a weird time where I think John Mulaney right now is in it deep right now. So I don't know what's going to happen with the future of that show, with that character. But great jam. Awesome. Awesome pull. Again, Big Mouth, can't go wrong.
No. And then my next one here would be It Ain't Easy Being White from Arrested Development with this puppet.
I forgot about this.
Oh, my God. It ain't easy being white. It ain't easy. Like, it's such a ridiculous thing. And again, something that you might not be able to do in this day and age again, but it is. Like, Job is so good in this, like, in the whole, like, series. He kind of has some down moments, but it is what's the name, Franklin is the name of the puppet. Oh my god.
That's right.
I was trying to figure it out. I had it in my head, but it's just so hilarious.
And another show didn't even come to mind. I forgot that they even had this. Like, another show I was like, nah, there's no music in that one, moving next. When you can go next on yours, because I have a few that I think will over or one. Well, actually, I don't see it on your, maybe it's early in your list. Let me just throw this out here because I know it's not coming up for you. At least let me just double check. No, you have a different one. The Simpsons.
Oh yeah.
Can't mention music on a television.
Monorail.
Monorail. Yeah. Monorail. 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 It is.
Is there a chance the track might bend? Not on your life, my Hindu friend.
It's the whole. I still think this is the masterpiece from The Simpsons. There are so many arguments. I found blogs, Reddits. I went deep into the dark web, Bill, just on Simpsons music. And some people claim
this and the Stonecutters one is usually the consensus top two.
And I'll be honest about the Stonecutters one. It ain't it for me. It ain't a jam. It's a well written and it's funny in the episode. But Monorail,
who,
like,
make Steve Guttenberg a star. We do.
We do. I get it, but I don't find it, like, I'm not going to play that offhand. No. This song, the Monorail song, you could just pop on nostalgia, all that. And I just think it's, like, stands out as just a great song. And it's got a pitch man in it. You can't go wrong with that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great. And it's the incredible. Why can't I think of his name? Phil Hartman.
Phil Hartman, yep.
I mean, it's so good. You know, were you sent here by the devil? No, good sir. I'm on the level. Like, and he's just like, he's legit the ultimate pitchman in life. And he, you know, hello, I'm Troy McClure. But, like, the fact that they had him play, like, every other character is so good. It's a miss by me. If I were to make a full list, it would definitely be on there. But to another cartoon, this would be my number 9 if we were doing it. Let's Fighting Love by South Park. I mean, this one, I would rock out to this. It's just, like, it's total anime. They crush it. It's all in Japanese, pretty much, you know, besides Let's Fighting Love. But if you don't know what we're talking about, go watch it. And I think the episode is called Fun Times with Weapons. It's probably, like, season 8 or 9. It is an all-time episode. But Butters gets hit in the eye with a throwing star, and they take him to the vet.
Yeah, season 8, episode 1.
Okay, so it was, yeah, they usually know when they're hitting strong, so they let off with that one. And then my Simpsons one that made it into the top 11, my top 11 here, is Talking Baseball. I watched this episode either last night or the night before, and the reason why I picked this one, yeah, we're talking softball.
Yeah, it's the this is an adaptation of a song.
Is it?
Yeah, and it's Talking Baseball.
Okay.
One of the greatest songs ever, but it doesn't matter. Continue.
Okay, so I didn't know that. But either way, like, Magically and Kitseko. And the reason I love this one is because, like, I watched this babysitting my niece one time, and she loved it. So I would sing this to her from the time she was, like, 4 months old to the time she was, like, you know, 2, probably.
Bill, there is nothing better than finding whenever you're watching a child, which I have to sometimes do, I don't know, because that's my duty in life now. But, like, there's nothing better than finding something, whether it's a stupid intro song, whether it's Puppy Dog Pals or whatever it may be. And just you find it and you're like, finally, I have something that can automatically pop a smile, anything, especially in those young ages. So I'm with you. That this song is pretty damn catchy. I forgot about this one because
Steve Saxon is running with the law.
You got to just listen to Talking Baseball at this because it's one of the stupidest songs, but obviously known. But yeah, good pull there.
All right, and then one more cartoon, and then we have one that we share here. It's Sugar Sugar from the Archies, which I didn't even know was a cartoon song. This is one of the biggest hits of all time.
I was going to say, this is the definition of bubblegum pop. Sugar Sugar by the Archies, do-do-do-do-do-do, is literally well-known for years, commercials, everything, even to this day. For like over 60 years, this has been a known song. You put it on your list when I looked just a little while ago. I had to Google it, and yeah, there was a cartoon adaptation of the Archies that then this turned into a song.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really unbelievable, and I told my buddy Rye from Oh Yeah, and he was like, he's a music guy. He didn't even know. So that's how amazing this one is. And then my number six here is one that we share, because let's face the facts about you and me, a love unspecified. It's guy love between two guys, dude, Scrubs.
It was on our top 11 Scrubs episode, the musical. It is my musical. Let me get it right. Honestly, what a god dang episode. I believe it is season six, episode six. There it is. And just so damn, there's so many songs in here where you could probably just enjoy offhand, but Guy Love just hits everything about this show. If you've been watching the show for six seasons or even watch show that has like two buddies that are together, it is just so damn good and just plays so well with like it's not gay, it's just two dudes
between two. And I think they sang it on the Ellen Show together too. And they've done it a couple of times live, and we do karaoke, you can come do it with me if you'd like, because I know every word off the top of my dome. I absolutely love this song. We can bring back Bruin, our little karaoke band, but it's such a good one. And you're right, there's a bunch from this show, this episode specifically, but I think this is by far the best one.
Yeah, they performed it on Jimmy Kimmel Live. I see that here. Also, just an amazing, amazing hook. Everything about it. Go check it out again. If you're on the fence even with Scrubs, just Google Guy Love. You'll just put a big smile on your stupid face.
All right, and then I got Bye Bye Little Sebastian. This is also from Parks and Rec. It's kind of a ripoff of a Candle in the Wind, because he's like, what's better than a candle in the wind? 10,000 candles in the wind. So it's Bye Bye Little Sebastian, your 10,000 candles in the wind. It's so good, and he just belts it out. And it's actually like one of the better produced songs out of all of these. And then I didn't have any SNL, so we can go to your SNL. Yeah. I kind of considered it a different category, even though I shouldn't.
Yeah, it's TV. It's a song, but I still think you could go a million. There's the Christmas Every Day song. Literally, SNL. All of
the digital ones from Andy Samberg, I think, are good.
I agree with you. Even, Jizz in My Pants, by the way. It started as an SNL skit, just shorter, and segued into, obviously, YouTube and what they were able to do with Lonely Island. But for me, the GOAT, Dick in a Box. It's so damn good, and it hits you so fast because you don't know what's coming. You see Justin Timberlake on, you're like, okay, this is different. The tracksuits, Dick in a Box.
And Christmas.
Yeah, Dick in a Box.
Kwanzaa.
It's so Valentine's Day. Every day. It's like Arbor Day. It's so good. It's timeless. To this day, you can pop that on, get a good laugh, Dick in a Box, because come on, who won't laugh?
It's hilarious. My favorite is when they do the little hand motion.
Yeah.
And then they even do like the opening of the box, like hand over hand, like it's just unbelievable.
Step one, you open that box.
No, I think it's step one, cut a hole in a box.
Yeah. You put your junk in that box. Oh man,
make it open the box. And that's the way you do it. Yeah, my number four is Bones Are Their Money from I Think You Should Leave. And I this is kind of like SNL, but it's a 22-minute show, so I think it's a little more TV, and it's all sketch comedy, like SNL mixes and other things, so I guess why I consider it differently. But either way, this thing, when they start off and they, follow me, and they go break into the other song, I think this is just available on YouTube to go watch it. So if you've never seen it, I think it's probably called the Johnny Cash sketch.
You can look it up. It's Netflix is a joke. I think if you put in Bones Are There, it's like searchable through that. If you type in Bones Are Their Money, you can find it.
So the premise of the sketch is, they're getting told that they don't like the gospel songs with a little bit of rock to them. So the Johnny Cash guy starts singing a Johnny Cash song, and he tells the, you know, Tim Robinson, you know, follow my lead. And then he just starts riffing the most insane lyrics ever. You know, the bones are their money, the worms are their dollars, the skeletons will pull your hair up, but not out.
By the way, the name of the sketch is technically called The Day That Robert Palin's Murdered Me, which is really even funnier. Yes.
That's so good. It's so freaking hilarious. His face is during the whole thing.
Oh, please. And he's got that weird jet black dyed hair that looks pretty bad. I think the funniest part is the main guy who's like singing just stops. Like, think if you really, this is your one shot to convince. And he just guy starts going, exactly. The bones of the skeletons muddy. So are the worms. And you don't interrupt him at all. And he's just staring at him. And that was
the day that the skeletons came to life. My favorite part is the end where he was like, we know our song's good. So we got a deal or not. Well, we were like the parts that Billy was singing. Billy as in him, or Billy as in me? Your name's Billy too? No,
that's why I'm so effing confused. Oh, it really, and then just his face, and then obviously that's the, I think you should leave trademark, like odd endings, but good call there.
Love it. And then
why don't you rip yours, because I think the only one I have left is still on your list.
Okay, so number three, I toyed with this being number two for a while. It's Daymen, and it's from the episode, not from the musical. It's, yeah, when they create it, like that whole scene when they're in his like apartment and he's sniffing the paint. Daymen, master of the night, man. Like, it's so good. And then when they become the electric dream machine and perform at the at Patty's, it's one of my favorite scenes of all time. People are yelling at him, throwing shit, and they're dressed like they almost look like Thundercats.
Yeah, good way to put it. It almost kind of similar to look with the bar mitzvah there, with the with that like getup.
Yeah,
the werewolf bar mitzvah look.
And then yeah, exactly. So the last, well, the second to last one here before the penultimate, before we get to our number one, is Forever by Jesse and the Rippers. And I tried to make this my class song in 2003 because I saw that Just Give Me the Light by Sean Paul was probably going to take it. We had a good rally, but unfortunately my class song is Just Give Me the Light. But
that was your class song? Just Give Me the Light?
I know. We're from Malden.
That's the most Malden thing I've ever heard.
Right? But this song is actually great. It plays in a lot of episodes. It has a legit music video.
Yep.
And it is a pretty good song, you know?
Dude, it rips, and that's not just a play on words. It's a great track. Also, Full House, underrated for the amount of original music in there. You have Beach Boys songs in there that actually were released for the show, then spun into their like later songs when they came back, like Kokomo. We saw that random episode where they're just on like one side of an island, which
yep.
one of the most ridiculous
Uncle stories. Jesse looking fantastic. I think he's playing the bongos.
Yeah, oh, yeah, he's right in there. It's part of the official music video. And then you also have the other song from Jesse and the Rippers when he's like the Dracula character.
Oh, yeah.
What
was the name of the club?
Oh, don't do this to me. I'm not going to remember. There's so many of these, like the Peach Pits from 90210. And anyways, but they absolutely slap with Forever. And it's just like, emotional, the black and white video with the twins in it. There's so many good parts of this. And again, like you said, it's a recurring part of the show.
The Smash Club.
Oh, well now. That sounds like Billy's phone list.
All right, and now we get to number one. This show has gotten a lot of heat on this podcast and other podcasts. No, and again,
one of the greatest shows of all time.
One of Rossi's favorite shows.
Number one comedy of all time.
Unbelievable, but nevertheless, this is the number one song.
Watch it every night. Watch every night before I go to bed, Bill. That and Goosebumps on rotation. So it puts me at ease.
Is obvious for us, at least. It is Let's Go to the Mall by Robin Sparkles. I play this. I never skip it when it comes on. I will seek it out. I was playing it in the shower right before we started this episode.
Ooh.
Because this episode, I think it's their best episode by far.
Yeah,
because
this is also
it's their slap bet episode as well. Yeah. And this is the whole premise of the slap bet, to find out what Robin was hiding. And it was the fact that she was a Canadian pop star and had a minor hit that she toured in malls. And I don't know how this wasn't a worldwide banger number one, because this song's amazing.
I think it's just because of the time the episode came out and the type of music that was released. But yeah, it comes from, this was released in like 2006. It just, awesome episode. So many stories. It was our number one in our top 11 How I Met Your Mother episodes. It is an absolute jam. If you don't like this, something's wrong with you. Like, even if you don't think it's like, you don't have to say, oh, it's my favorite song, but like, there's so much hilarity to it. And it's great because it was supposed to be early 90s, but it's so 80s. And the premise is Canada got the 80s late.
Yeah, totally. The early 90s. No, the late 80s didn't come to Canada until the early 90s.
Yeah, it's like 93, she says, which is so funny.
It's so hilarious. And don't forget the robot.
Oh, yes.
But all of the lyrics are hilarious. You know, everybody come and play, throw every last care away. Let's go to the mall today. And then they go, today. When did you want to go to the mall? Was it today? I mean, and it plays throughout a bunch of episodes. Like the premise of it, they even release like two more songs that are kind of, they tried a little too hard with it, but they reached the pinnacle of TV original songwriting right here.
Yeah, the only song that could even be mentioned, well, there's a few here, but I still like the Beaver song too, but that's it's a different episode, including Robin Sparkle, but still, this is awesome. Let's Go to the Mall. By the way, absolutely the number one song original from a TV show. The hilarity that ensues throughout the episode that leads to it also plays into the fact. You're like, we're wondering, what is this? Because
they think it's a porn.
Yeah, Robin did porn. Robin did porn. Nope, she was a teen idol with minor hit that traveled Canada. Unreal. Sandcastles in the Sand was a later one, and then I already forget the name of her dark tune, but
she spent the summer touring malls, eating Wetzel's pretzels and drinking orange Julius.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. So those are our favorite songs from original songs from TV shows. Do we mention a song that you thought of? Did we miss one? Was one of the songs we talked about terrible? Mention us, tweet us at PopCulturePD, at BillyD2411, at Jason D. Rossi. Or you could subscribe, leave a review just saying how bad this episode was or how great it was. Whatever you want to say. Say literally anything. If you find this video on YouTube, comment legit anything. We just nailed it. That list that is maybe the greatest list you'll ever get and the most extensive, all right? Forget about all your other little blogs that aren't really getting to it. This week in
the Shared Gooniverse.
So, this week in the Dork Shared Gooniverse, Dork did, I forget.
New Mutants.
Matthew Goo did the 1989 Classic Aliens, and we were also on another episode that they had, their 299th episode, celebrating their 300th episode. They did our game, Know Your Bro. It went
awesome. It went awesome, Bill.
It was a disaster, but I gotta say, it was hilarious.
I think everything about it was perfect. And if you don't appreciate the parts that Joe was in and don't hysterically laugh, I literally went back. His one-liners in there. Everything about it was incredible. And the best part at the end, when they're like, Joe, you don't know anything, he just starts blaming me. Perfect. I love every second.
Throw Rossi, like, default. It's the easiest way to go.
When in doubt, just Rossi screwed everything up. He was in charge.
Changed my mind, did, I don't know.
The Civil War, Captain America Civil War rewatch.
Then TLDR Red Books, Pineapple Boys will be eating some pineapples on Thursday. Did I miss anyone?
Shield Play,
Caps Booze coming up. I'm like four episodes behind. I think I've seen the first two. So hopefully I'll catch up in the next 3 days, but it's not motivating me. So
I'll watch it when I get time. It doesn't have the WandaVision vibe of like, I need to see what happens next. And it's no disrespect to the actors. I also feel like I could use a little more break time. Maybe I sound crazy, but I feel like let the WandaVision settle. Give me some more hype into this. Like, I don't know when Loki starts, but I feel like it's also going to be like.
No, soon. I think it's a little bit further away.
Okay, I hope so. But it's in May. I believe it's in May, so we're not too far off. Don't forget, Bill, where are our streamers? Where can people find the streamers?
Oh, yeah, you can find the streamers on Twitch. We got Backcracker. He forgot his own name. We have Arvon D. I believe he's still doing his Friday, basically a call-in show. And then we also have Shine Time. So go interact with all of those dudes over on the Twitch.
It's time to shine. You see it on your notifications. Yeah, Dr. Joe is at Jesus Christ on Twitch. So you can check him out for a prayer service nightly. Coming up, we'll have an extensive schedule coming up in May. You know how extensive it is, Bill? We haven't even talked about it. So it's going to be a good one. We'll bring as much content as we can. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode and enjoying your life. Drink tons of water. Stay positive. Be a good person, as best you can at least. Tweet a friend. Call a friend. Be a friend. Don't forget, you can check out franksayshi.com. Make sure you check out all the Dork podcasts, Shared Gooniverse, should I say. Podcast Dork, Mac and Goo, Change My Mind, all of them putting in their hard work as well. Bill, leave the fine folks with the most inspirational thought in the top of your head.
Peace and love.
We will catch you all next week. Frank says hi.